Check out my new book, Coping Courageously, a heart-centered guide for navigating a loved one's illness without losing yourself. It's appropriate for you as a clinician, for your patients, and for anyone you know who has a seriously ill loved one or an aging parent. Check it out and tell a friend. Welcome to the Integrative Palliative Podcast, where we help physicians and other clinicians master the art of integrative symptom management so they can wholeheartedly care for themselves as they expertly care for their patients. Welcome. I'm Dr. Karen Monti. As you know, my book, Coping Courageously, a heart-centered guide for navigating a loved one's illness without losing yourself, came out recently, and I want to read you an Amazon review that touched me. It's titled An Essential Read for Families and Clinicians. If you only read one book this year, read this book. What I would have given to have had this incredible resource, not only for myself, but for many of the physicians and nurses we encountered on my son's 39-year medical journey. A down-to-earth guide that is easy to read and hard to put down. If you care for someone personally or professionally, this book is one of the most impactful guides written in the last four decades. Delia Chiaramonte's real-life experience shines through on every page. So check it out if you yourself are facing a serious illness or if you're a clinician who cares for other people facing serious illness. All right, so today we're going to talk about guided imagery and what is it and how do you do it and just all the things you need to know about guided imagery. So guided imagery is sort of like self-hypnosis light. It is when someone listens either to a live person speaking to them or a recording that is guiding their imagination in a positive way. So it's basically using our imagination for good. And we often use our imagination for bad. That's what anxiety is, imagining a terrible outcome that hasn't happened yet. This is using that tendency that we have to imagine things that aren't real and turning it to the positive by imagining positive experiences that we want to have in our body or our mind. There are many kinds of guided imagery, and probably the simplest one, and maybe it's not even officially thought of as a guided imagery, but I think of it this way, is called a progressive muscle relaxation. And in that form of guided imagery, you're just asking the person to imagine the various parts of their body and to relax them. So you bring your attention to your head and to your forehead and to your jaw, relax the muscles, imagine they feel heavy and soft. Bring your attention to your neck, to your chest, to your upper back, to your lower back, to your belly, to your legs, to the bottom part of your legs, to your feet, to your arms, to your hands, all the way you're guiding the person through, imagining that each part of their body that you mention becomes heavy or warm or soft or relaxed. So that's a progressive muscle relaxation. Super easy to do. And once you teach it to your patients or yourself, you can just imagine that if you're waiting someone, you're feeling agitated, you can just in your mind, imagine that you're going from the top of your body to the bottom, imagining every piece relaxing. And it's also an easy thing to do if you do procedures with patients. You can very easily guide them through a quick progressive muscle relaxation as you're about to perform a procedure, as they're about to go under anesthesia, etc. Super easy and powerful and useful tool. Another kind of guided imagery is thinking of a relaxing place. You might ask the person, think of a place that makes you feel comfortable and happy and relaxed. And the most important thing about this is that you don't want to tell them what that place is. So you don't want to say, for example, imagine that you're at the beach, because maybe they hate the beach. Maybe they had a near drowning experience and they're terrified at the beach. So you don't want to insert an idea into their head that you think is relaxing. You want them to come up with what they think is relaxing. And then what's the most helpful thing here is to ask them to imagine all their senses. So bring to mind a place that feels relaxing and comfortable and happy for you. Look around in your mind. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell? Is there anything you can taste? What do you feel? So you're taking them through their five senses as they imagine whatever it is to them that feels relaxing. And then a similar kind of guided imagery is asking them to imagine a safe place. So whereas their relaxing place might be, who knows, but it might be outside or, taking a walk in the forest, laying outside by the pool, who knows, it's for them to decide. A safe place is a little bit different, often used for people who have some kind of trauma or have trouble feeling safe. And so that might be cuddled in their bed with a stuffed animal and a blanket or in their special chair. But that's, again, for them to decide. We're not telling them where the safe place is. We're just asking them to imagine that they are in this safe place. And then you would do the same thing in this safe place where you imagine yourself. What do you feel? What do you see? What do you smell? Is there anything you can taste? What do you hear? Another kind of guided imagery that I find really interesting is the wise guide. Wise guide. In this kind of guided imagery, you would lead them first through some sort of relaxation first so that they get in a really centered place. And then you ask them to imagine that someone is there with them, someone who is wise and kind, someone who has their best interests at heart, someone who perhaps has a message for them. And you can ask them to have the person walk towards them. You can ask them to just get a sense of, is there a message for them from this wise guide? And I think it's important, not just for this guided imagery, but for all of them really, to tell people that you don't have to actually see it. Some people see things when they do a guided imagery in their mind, but some people can't or don't, and they can get on their own case about that. They can be upset at like, oh, I can't do it. It's not working. I can't see it. It's perfectly fine if they don't see it. They might just have a sense of something, a sense of their safe place or a sense of their wise guide. And if they can't even get a sense, it's okay. They can just use words in their mind to imagine, I am seeing a wise guide. So just give them permission early on that whatever you have in this experience is totally fine. If you see things, that's fine. If you don't see things, that's fine. But just listen, follow along, and try to do the best you can. And that's perfectly fine. So with a wise guide meditation or guided imagery, we ask them to imagine this wise guide and then see, does the wise guide have a message for them? Just give them a moment with this guide, saying to them, it's no pressure. They may not have a message. They may just be with you and supporting you, but just allow space for, is there any information that this guide wants to transmit to you? And then let them sit with that for a moment. And often people will come up with things. Of course, it's their own intuition, right? It's their own subconscious, but often that's a really important message. So another kind of guided imagery, I don't know if this has a name or not. If it does, I don't know it. But the idea is you're looking for some sort of physiologic change. So you might lead someone in a guided imagery and have them imagine their white blood cells gobbling up the cancer cells or sweeping away the cancer cells or the infection. You might ask them to imagine that their pulse is slowing or their blood pressure is reducing, their blood vessels are relaxing. So this is sometimes used to counter some condition that you're trying to help the person get better from. A related kind of guided imagery is a change of state or perception. So if a person has pain, you might ask them to imagine that initially the pain is red and hot and pulsating, and then over time lead them to it's pulsating less, it's quieter, it's more orange than red, it's turning more towards blue, now it's blue and cool and calm. Other ways to manage pain through guided imagery, you might imagine where the pain is and have it be wrapped in bubble wrap, wrap and wrap and wrap and wrap in bubble wrap until you can't even access it anymore. You might ask them to imagine taking the pain and putting it in a box and putting the box on a shelf. You might ask them to imagine when the chemotherapy is going into their arm, that it is healing, warm energy. Imagine the chemotherapy as it's going in your arm as warm and healing energy designed to make your body safer and healthier. And that's important because many people do the exact opposite of that, which is they use a guided imagery accidentally and they look at the bag of chemo and what they say to themselves is, this is poison, this is poison, this is poison. And of course, the mind-body connection connects what's in our mind to what's in our body. So we don't want to give that message to our body if we're trying to get healed. So maybe one of the simplest ways to teach people guided imagery is for those in the chemo chair, just imagine that medicine that's coming into your arm is healthy, healing energy that's going to make your body safer. And then my most favorite kind of guided imagery is called a loving kindness meditation or metta, M-E-T-T-A. And in this kind of guided imagery or meditation, You imagine first yourself and you send a loving message to yourself. There are different ways that people do it, but often it's something like, may you be well, may you be safe, may you be happy, or may you be free from suffering. And then you imagine saying that to yourself. Then you imagine saying that to someone that you really care about. Then you imagine saying that to someone that you know, but is not that special to you. Then you imagine saying that to a new, completely neutral person, like the person at the store. Then you imagine saying that to someone who you have difficulty with. And then you imagine saying it to the whole world. So there actually is a recorded loving kindness meditation that I recorded on copingsupport.com. copingsupport.com. There's other great resources there too. So if you want to try out a metta or loving kindness meditation, you can go there and listen to it yourself. And I really like that one because it's healing for us. It's healing for the people in our life. And then it's healing for the whole wide world, which boy, do we all need. So copingsupport.com, go check out that loving kindness meditation, see what you think. So how can you use guided imagery in your practice with your patients? You can suggest that they go listen to a meditation app or guided imagery app. So there are lots of them. I have no connection with any of these, but I like all of these. Headspace is one, Calm is one, Buddhify is one, Insight Timer also is great. Some of those are for pay, some of them are free. I highly recommend that you suggest this to people, but also that you do it yourself. But you can also use this yourself with your patients. You can do it live with your patients in the office. So if you have patients who are anxious, you can lead them in a brief guided imagery. If you have patients who are getting ready to get anesthesia or who are getting CTs or MRIs and feeling anxious, or people who are about to get radiation therapy and are feeling anxious, all of those are great places where you can lead a patient through a guided imagery yourself. So the guidance, as I mentioned before, don't tell them what to see, just make a suggestion. So perhaps you might imagine or see if you can allow your head to float up as much as possible. You don't want to tell them what to do because sometimes people will be resistant to that. So try to use softer words when you can. Sometimes you're going to say, you know, take a deep breath, but try to at least intersperse it with softer words like see if you can imagine or allow yourself to feel or to do this thing. It works especially well with kids because guided imagery is all about imagination and kids are really good with imagination. So don't feel like just because they're little that you can't do it. You absolutely can do it. With kids, you can say things like, imagine that you're blowing out a candle if you want them to take deep breaths, or imagine that you're blowing up a balloon. And again, one of the easiest things for you to do that you really might want to practice is just a very quick progressive muscle relaxation. So you might say to your patient, bring your attention to the top of your head. See if you can imagine the muscles softening and relaxing. Imagine your forehead. Perhaps it feels soft and relaxed. Imagine your jaw, allowing it to feel heavy and warm and relaxed. Imagine the back of your neck. Allow that to feel soft and warm and relaxed. So you just lead them through the various parts of their body, and the kinds of words that you might want to use are heavy, warm, soft, relaxed. And when you're leading someone through a guided imagery, you do want to center yourself a little bit first, because if you're feeling frenetic, they'll pick up on that and they won't feel relaxed. So slow your own breathing, bring your voice down a little bit, slow your words. All of this gives the message to the person that right now the experience that we're looking for is to be relaxed. Okay, so put this in your toolbox, really, and here's the way to learn it. Download some of those apps or look at things on YouTube and listen to a bunch of guided imageries yourself. You'll start to get the sense that they all have basically the same idea. Once you listen to a few yourself, you'll be more comfortable speaking these words to patients, and then practice it a few times yourself in front of the mirror without the patient. Just imagine that you were leading someone through a simple relaxation or a progressive muscle relaxation. Imagine that you're inviting them to a relaxing space and asking them to use their five senses. Just say the words out loud a few times to yourself. Once you do that, then just practice it with your patients. Just do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. Don't worry about it. Like, just do it messy. It's perfectly fine. The patients will really appreciate it. And it can help you potentially get the study done or get the patient through their radiation with less trouble. Because when patients are anxious, they can't do the things we want them to do. So this is really a helpful tool to use to help your patients, but also to help you get through your day and get the things done that need to be done. And then, of course, consider using guided imagery as part of your own well-being plan, because it's free almost. It's completely safe as long as you don't do it when you're driving. And it's a really helpful tool, and you can adapt it in all the different ways like we talked about today. So try it. Try it for you, and then be brave and try it for a patient and let me know how it goes. All right. Thanks so much for being here, you guys. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. This podcast is brought to you by the Integrative Palliative Institute. Visit our website, integrativepalliative.com. There you can access physician and clinician training, well-being coaching, free downloads, and other cool stuff. And feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn and share your favorite episode with a friend.